Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss oh so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Welcome to the show today. This is episode 6. Understanding societal attitudes about female sexuality. And, of course, in connection, male sexuality. But I just wanted to talk a little bit today about how our society views women's bodies, women's sexuality, and male bodies and male sexuality, and how those are related, and how that affects women's understanding about their bodies and their willingness to be open about sexuality. And also, same thing about men. You can't talk about half the population without talking about the other half of the population when so much sexuality of women is related to male sexuality, too. So, I just wanted to think a little bit about how women are perceived by the general society. Now, I'm talking about the United States specifically, because it's going to be different in another country where there's different cultural norms and things like that. But women generally in the U.S., still, even though we imagine we have all these advances of ideas about what women are and can be, women in the U.S. are still generally perceived in one of two ways. And this new third category that is like a fantastic real middle ground that is closer to reality about who women really are is developing, but it's not fully developed at all. It's something that we have to fight for, and that's kind of one reason why I wanted to do this podcast, was just to talk about real experiences, because that's what we're really missing here from the societal idea of what female sexuality is. So the two different ways that women are generally viewed, you can probably guess them, and I've mentioned these before, is one, you're either perceived to be a hoary, loose woman, or you're perceived to be a, you know, pure, very reserved sexual being, if sexual at all. Now, the second one almost borders on being asexual, not being interested in really having sex with others at all, because that's kind of, oh, that's what you're maybe supposed to be as a woman, until you cross that line and then you turn into the raging whore that we know you all are. That's kind of one of the ideas about it, which is ludicrous and ridiculous. And I know that most people don't actually think this consciously in their mind, though some do, unbelievably. And yet still the ideas about what that means and the line between being pure and impure, those still affect our ideas about relating to other women and relating to our partners. And they still affect men's ideas about what women should be or could be, and it's just the pressure of society. It's not someone choosing to imagine that we're, you know, this or this. But at a certain point, we have to be conscious about the thoughts that are applying pressure to us and start thinking about ways to reroute them so that we can actually go into a relationship and a partnership with a woman as, you know, real people. So theoretically, in this world, in this view where there's a dichotomy, whether you're either this or this, if you're a woman, theoretically, all women start as young ladies, or whatever we are supposed to be, and we are innately a pure character, pure of heart, pure of body, etc. And our decisions in our lives keep us that way, and allow us to appropriately become matronly-esque women, or they launch us into whoredom, which is one of the, I feel like, more common things that we could perceive as happening. Because still, some people, you know, wait to have sex before they're married. Or they only wait until they're married to have sex. That's not as common as having sex before you're married, because some people don't even get married. You know, but I feel like that's one of the only ways our society still allows for adult women to transition from being a young, pure lady to being a matron in a family or something like that without having gone through that weird spectrum of looseness in the middle there. So most of us, me included, who's totally had sex before she was married, most people do that. We went through that, like, that little middle section that's kind of like, whoa, when did I become to be perceived this way? And maybe no one knew that. Maybe no one actually actively thought, oh, I just found out that she had sex before she's married. She is now slutty. But still, you're bombarded with images and ideas about what it means to be a woman who's sexually active before she's married, or who's sexually active at this age, or who's sexually active with this kind of partner. And so it affects how you feel about yourself and what you're allowed to ask for in a relationship and what you're allowed to demand. So we all start as, you know, a pure of heart and body sort of person. And you can retain that, like I said, by waiting to have sex till you get married, which just, in most cases, ain't happening, folks. And in my opinion, probably shouldn't be happening unless you have a specific sort of relationship that's maybe a very religious one, you know, kind of thing, and that's what you're doing. Otherwise, in my opinion, you got to test drive that junk so that you know what sort of a person he's going to be, and not just what his body parts look like, but how considerate he is in bed, because that is a huge part of someone's personality, let me tell you. Now, interestingly, we can retain some sort of pureness in the way that we are viewed, even after we've crossed the new sexual line and we're finally sexually active. We can retain this by, actually, honestly, the clothes we wear in really bizarre ways. And then that's how society views it anyway. I mean, of course, there is no sexual pureness or otherwise in life. You just are who you are. You're an animal, human, spiritual human, and you just do what is right for you. But definitely there is a link between how society views women and the clothes that they're wearing. So it's an interesting line you must walk, because in order to be properly perceived as a pure, sweet woman, you have to wear clothes that cover you enough, that don't show off your feminine locations, but you also can't wear clothes that are too opposite of what you're supposed to wear as a woman. So, for example, if you're wearing skinny jeans and, like, a big loose sweatshirt and no makeup and, you know, plug earrings all the time, people are going to be stressed about that, and it's ridiculous, but they're going to think, what does that mean about her womanhood? Now, I cannot classify her in the category of a pure, feminine, but still asexual enough to be pure woman, because I'm not seeing a feminine garb with her, but I also cannot classify her as a slutty character, because I do not see the shape of her body too much. She's not showing off her skin, she's not, she doesn't seem to be slutty, and so people get confused about that, because they're like, wait a minute, I don't know which category I'm supposed to put you in. And the answer is, there isn't a category that you put someone in anyway, but it just happens that way. That's the way it goes, unfortunately. And so we have to just recognize that that's the case and think about how we, through what we say and what we do, can perhaps change that a little bit, because that's the only way to change it. It's just an overall idea that we need to be aware of, and then once we're aware of it and we discuss it, it'll change. But it needs time, and it needs active understanding of what's going on. So if you're wearing the right clothes, nothing too sexual, but still you look like a classic girl, and your personality is such that you are a classic girl. So if you're doing all these things I said, you're wearing clothes that aren't too form-fitting, you're wearing, you know, you are still kind of a young, kind, feminine lady, apparently. You're like, oh, pure? She must be a pure kind of person. Now, your personality has to match that, too. There's something that goes with the idea society has about a woman's personality that affects if she's what sort of woman she is. So if you you know, you wear a cardigan and you wear regular pants, and you wear little dangly earrings and you have a, you know, not too much makeup and you, but you wear your hair up in a nice little way. Okay. It sounds like you're on the track of people viewing you as a pure lady. But now if your personality is loud and rambunctious and intense and maybe you cuss, people are going to also be like, wait a minute, okay, my brain is frying. I don't know which she would be. Is she now, through her personality, which seems wild and crazy and loose, is she now a secret loose woman? So there's a lot of layers that affect how women are viewed by the general population. It has to do with, like I said, your clothing. It has to do with definitely your age to some degree. It has to do with your carriage, like how you carry yourself, I would say definitely. Do you stick your chest out? Do you kind of hunch over? And it also, like I just said, has to do with your personality, which to me is such an interesting connection. Because right there we can see that if you are doing the classic girl thing, if you're doing the classic girlish young woman thing, then your personality is not going to be wild and crazy and rambunctious and outspoken. And if so, you're not really girl enough somehow. Everyone's like, wait a minute, she's not acting like a girl. She's not acting like the way a young, you know, pure woman should act. She's acting a little too maybe masculine for herself, or a little too just outside of the norm. And so my opinions about her have definitely changed now. So there's so many lines you have to pay attention to as a woman. And really what I want to say is you don't need to worry about any of those lines. Just be yourself, because all the other stuff is just a load of crap, trying to be anybody other than yourself, okay? But because of all the pressures that we've gotten as young women growing up and the way we have been taught, or actually not taught, to talk about sex. That's the problem. It's not even a discussion how or if or when we should discuss sex with our partners and our families, because that's not something that the still innocent women do. They're not allowed to take charge of their sexuality. That's what hoary people do. So because of all those pressures, a lot of women don't feel comfortable taking charge of their sexuality, because that sort of area, taking charge sexually, has been reserved for the category that society still views as real, as the hoary women who have sex with tons of people, who know no limits, who have no qualms about whoever they have sex with and however many times, and they're not safe and they're irresponsible. And they wear clothes with their boobs hanging out, and they wear tight this and tight that, and they have crude language and all these things that go together to juxtapose the idea of the innocent lady. But the problem with this is, number one, neither category is actually real. Some people might exist within the confines of those categories because they just happen to be that person naturally. But those two categories are not good divisions at all for the way women are. Most women are way in the middle on the spectrum between an innocent lady and a hoary slut. Now, I know some women who are innocent ladies, and I really don't know how to talk to them if they're purely innocent ladies, just because I'm not in that spectrum. And I know some women that are very hoary women, but I also don't know how to talk to them because they're often not seeking, you know, a personal connection in their sexual relationships. They're just seeking sex, and that's probably a sexual addiction kind of problem. Who knows? But most of the people I know, 99% of the women I know, are way on the spectrum. It is a spectrum. It's a spectrum that we have to be looking at. But until we can all realize that there's a spectrum and think about, hey, where am I on the spectrum? And think to ourselves, hey, I'm on a spectrum, not in a category. I'm not one or the other. I'm just myself with these characteristics and this. Until we can look at that, it's going to be really hard for women as a group in the U.S. to feel comfortable as a group discussing and demanding sexual rights, sexuality, the way they want it to be, sexuality on their own terms. The biggest thing that I hope will change one day, I know it will one day, but it will take a lot of conscious effort from women and from the men and women who love them. It will take a lot of conscious effort to change the idea about women that says you cannot be a demanding, knowledgeable woman about your body and be considered anything other than kind of hoary. That is something that needs to be changed, because the idea of a good, proper lady is not one that makes room for being able to talk about sexual frustration, sexual feelings, even sexual desires so much. The good women aren't supposed to even, like, really want to have sex. They're just supposed to do it because it's the proper thing to do or something. I don't know. It's ridiculous. The good women are supposed to be not in touch with their animal side. They're supposed to be purely, ethereally, female in a, I don't know, almost like we're on a pedestal or some crap, and we can't actually be dirty, scuzzy humans that are animals too, but also humans and emotional at the same time. That to me is the hardest thing to deal with, especially when I talk to women and I realize that that is the biggest thing, the biggest pressure keeping women from being comfortable knowing what they want, even knowing, because they haven't felt that they're even allowed to think about it sometimes. It's not even on their radar to think about it because no one said, hey, you are exactly who you're supposed to be as a sexual woman or female. You don't need to edit your thoughts. You don't need to do any of this. And you do get to demand this and think this and say this. And as soon as you open those floodgates on women that have never really talked much about sexual things, the floodgates just, things just start pouring out. Because you think, oh, maybe those folks don't really want to talk about it very much. And there's probably some people that don't. But in most cases, when I talk to women who haven't usually had a relationship with their partner where they discuss much, or a relationship with their girlfriends where they discuss much, because no one in their group felt comfortable saying, all right, let's talk about vaginas. Somebody start. You go first. Or let's talk about sex with our partners and see if we're on the same page, or is this normal, or is that? That they've just never been able to even put that on their radar, something you get to talk about. And then once you realize that you get to talk about that, that becomes topic of conversation number one. Because, number one, it is fun to do that kind of a discussion, to have that kind of discussion. It's fun to do girl talk, quote unquote, with your girlfriends or your best friends that you feel understand you sexually and have a similar background and understanding about what it is that you want and they want it too, kind of thing. But you just realize I've been missing an entire window of communication in the world that has such a huge part of my relationship and just my relationship with myself and my body. I've been missing out on talking about it, which helps me experience it better and know how to fine-tune it. And then from there, it's just a free-for-all. I mean, you just keep the discussion going, and it becomes a contagious discussion. Eventually, women who've decided, hey, I'm going to talk about it now, talk to other friends that haven't felt comfortable talking about it, and it just opens up. Because plenty of women have ideas about what they want or should want, but they just don't really know if they get to talk about it. And that is such a big thing. That is the biggest negative. Well, not the biggest, probably. But to me, right now, in my mind, as I'm thinking, the biggest negative about this weird dichotomy between being this kind of woman or this kind of woman is it doesn't leave any room for all the women, 98% of them, that are in the middle spectrum to feel that they get to voice their opinion about what their sexual experiences are like. Because partially for fear that they might be stuck in this category or this category, or for fear that someone will think they're bizarre because their experiences are never the same as someone else's, or for fear that their partner will veto all discussions or think, that's not part of your personality. You're not supposed to talk about this. So this is something we have to change. This is the biggest thing. Our daughters and our sons need to know that women live on a spectrum. And that women's sexuality exists on a spectrum. And that isn't it exciting to get to meet a new partner that you might want to spend your life with or that you just want to enjoy for a while that is somewhere on that spectrum and you don't know where? How exciting to find where they are on that spectrum because everyone's unique. How is that not exciting? That sounds like the most exciting adventure ever. It's like a treasure map that's different with every person. And so you never run out of exciting new discoveries, even if you're with the same partner, because people change over time. People have different ideas, and you become better synced with your partner. I mean, who would not want to change that idea so that it can become an open discussion, and all of our sons and all of our daughters and all of our peers feel comfortable talking about whatever, just the way they feel comfortable talking about their favorite food. It should be like that. It should be a topic of discussion in a way that's so similar to that. That it's like, phew, no big deal. We'll just laugh it off, we'll talk it out, and now we know that I met another unique person who's like me in many ways, dislike me in many ways, and it was really great to hear about what they think about sex. And now just to touch a little bit on male sexuality is viewed in different ways too. It also exists on a dichotomy, which is something that should not be happening either, because 98% of the men exist in between this dichotomy. So either you're a like shy, helpless, sexual guy that needs a real woman to awaken his maleness or whatever that is. That's one end of the spectrum. And the other end of the spectrum is that he is a womanizing man whore who sleeps with all women without any worries, without being safe, without using protection, and talks about them and just compares their body parts and doesn't even think of them as real humans, just thinks of them as sexual objects. Okay, so those are the two opposites. I know maybe like one man like that. I know like one man like the other end of the spectrum. But majority of the people I know are in the middle. Duh. Just like with women's sexuality. And this dichotomy is something that's damaging to women too and damaging to men. I mean, you can't be worried about you can't worry about women's sexuality without also worrying about men's sexuality and the way that's viewed as a society, as a group, because many times they go together. And those ideas, the fact that they're both on a dichotomy, those ideas, they co-create what our ideas are about women's worth in sex and men's worth in sex. Because there's definitely different ideas about what men are and how they are on that spectrum. On the womanizing spectrum, they're viewed much less poorly than women on the end of their spectrum where they're considered hoary. Men still, unfortunately, it's kind of like a status symbol. How many women have you slept with? Yay! But that sort of thing does not exist with women who are considered to be slutty people. They don't get to brag about how many men they've slept with. They become sort of a, oh, poor sad girl that sleeps with all these guys. What must be wrong with her? But no one really thinks that about the men who do the same thing. They think, oh, he's just being a dude, which I don't even know what that means. Doesn't mean he's being a dude. It means he's being an ass face. if you're sleeping with so many people, not caring about any of them, talking smack about all of them, you know. So lots of things to be talked about here. There's always more room for discussion when we talk again. But what is key in our approach to talking on the podcast about our sexuality as people, as humans, as women, as females, is knowing how every other person that you may or may not agree with views you or could view you, or just the pressures that you have to face to have yourself be heard. And you might have a fantastic partner, and the only worry is a personal one that you're having about being open and full disclosure, but that is doubtful. Because I'm a really open person, and I've always felt pretty comfortable talking about sexual stuff, and as I've gotten older, I felt even more comfortable. But I can still feel times when I am worried to say something. I'm like, oh, should I say this? But it's not because of my own personal fear. I can track it back and I can realize that it comes from the idea of what I think I'm supposed to be. And where did that come from? That came from the greater culture that we live in. Because bottom line is, with sexuality, it is such a spiritual important experience, in my opinion, that you should not be thinking about what you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to be related to sexual situations. You should just be who you are with the person you care about. And that's something that we need to start thinking about as we move forward in everything that we say, in everything that we do, and in beginning to talk and stand up for ourselves, because we deserve it. And I promise you, the partners that we're with will appreciate it. Maybe not at first. They'll be like, whoa, what's happening? But they will appreciate it, and they will come to love you more for it, because it's just you showing more of who you are when you stand up for what you need and you say what you want. All it is revealing you as a person, which is always more fantastic than being just like what you're supposed to be, or just not saying what you think because you're worried. Be yourself. Think what you think and say it. Think what you think and ask for it. Think what you think and demand it. That is so important. I want to thank you for joining me today for episode 6 of the O Woman Podcast. I'm Emma. Love talking with you today. As always, send me any feedback you would like to, and I will see you next morning. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Okay, bye.